You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
We're going to take a look today at an exciting new documentary now available on streaming services. Collaborative Production Possibilities was made by American Foundation of the Blind and Beach Glass Films. It features open audio description, and accessibility was part of the process of making the movie rather than just added as an afterthought.
Satana Howry, that's me sitting in my booth. I'm reading the script on a Braille display and performing the audio description for this very film. The letter I, a white cane descends on it with a rippling tap. Chieko walks with the AI suitcase. Gina skis behind her instructor, carving left and right.
I'm cute and I'm not going to be outside walking around with a cane.
Conchita, looking cute, walks around DC with a cane. Helen Keller. Footage of Helen waving and speaking to crowds in Japan. Tony.
Helen Keller broke the mold. It's up to us to forge a path forward.
She travels as a goodwill ambassador with blind children. Photo montage of interview subjects.
And joining us now is Tony Stevens, Assistant Vice President for Communications at the American Foundation for the Blind. It is lovely speaking with you, Tony.
Hello, it's wonderful to speak with you as well.
Now, we are obviously speaking about a very exciting project, an amazing documentary movie that you've been involved with as a producer as well.
That's right, yeah. It's called Possibilities, and it was produced by the American Foundation for the Blind and Beach Glass Films, which is out of California, outside of Hollywood. And it focuses on Helen Keller's life and her impact and her legacy, but it's not just a typical biography or, you know, documentary specifically about Helen. But what we did was we wanted to learn about Helen's impact to the people that are blind and have low vision and deafblind today. So it's a lot of stories from people from the community, from across the United States, but as well, we had a crew go out to Tokyo and really sort of capture what Helen's legacy is through the stories and life of people that are blind and kind of living today, you know, and how we get around and all those things.
It's such an amazing project and such an amazing concept. Now, this movie has been around for a while. I think, did you release it a couple years ago initially?
Well, we started the festival circuit. We kicked it off in 2024. We did a little over a year and a quarter, maybe. In the 2025, we were running it through festivals. But this past weekend, when we're recording this, in June 27th, was Helen Keller's birthday, her 146th birthday. So that was actually our big premiere. So that's when it went live, both here in the United States, but also on Amazon and in the UK and in Australia. The big premiere happened this weekend at Carnegie Hall in New York City.
So it must have been quite exciting. Were you there?
I was there. I was running the event. I was, it's one of those things because it's like the Royal Albert Hall or something in London, but it's this just historic landmark in New York City. And we had, you know, the pretty sizable crowd that had shown up for the film. A lot of people from the community, from the blind, low vision community from New York, but we also had people come in really from Texas and California and across the country, and it was really moving. I led a panel afterwards with several of the folks that were involved with the film, both in the making and some of the featured voices that we focused on. I'm still sort of winding down from the surrealness that I stood on stage at Carnegie Hall. You know, it's a room that seats like 500-600 people. To have them all there just to watch this thing that you worked on was very, very humbling.
I would love to know, what was the, I guess, original inspiration and the concept that, I guess, started this whole project, and how long did it take you from, I guess, conception to actually getting it onto that festival circuit?
Well, documentaries are a unique type of filmmaking, right? And it can, sometimes you can capture something that happened last week and get it out on television. Sometimes it takes decades for someone with an idea. We weren't that long, but it's been a 5-year process. You know, we were reaching our 100th anniversary at the American Foundation for the Blind in 2021. And Helen Keller was she was our most famous employee that represented AFB. She worked at AFB from 1924 up until when she had retired from life, mainly after having her strokes in like 1960, 61. And then she passed away in 1968. But, you know, for 40 years and so, she was really sort of the chief ambassador with AFB. And we wanted to, you know, try to focus in on her legacy and impact, but we didn't want to make it this inspiration over the top. You know, she was so amazing. Because we find in the United States, there was a movie in the 60s called The Miracle Worker, which won an Oscar Academy Award. It's, you know, the story of Helen Keller, when the traditional story that a lot of school kids here in the United States hear, where, you know, she is, you know, 7 years old, and Ann Sullivan was her teacher, brought in from Boston, broke through by teaching her how to sign in her hand. She had never communicated with anybody, sort of trapped inside herself. She writes wonderfully about it in a number of books that she published about, you know, that perceptions and how she just, the world exploded as soon as she learned the word water, that Anne was able to sign into her hand using tactile sign language. That just opened up this floodgate for Helen, both metaphorically and, you know, in a lot of ways, and led to her being, you know, one of the global leading disability rights advocates for decades and decades. Most people know of her just around that time at the well. And that's kind of where it ends, that, you know, Anne Sullivan did this amazing thing. She was the miracle worker and made this young girl from northern Alabama and in the deep south of the United States sort of learn to communicate and break through that isolation. We wanted to capture her global impact, right, of her work for after World War II and really setting up like the American Foundation for the Overseas Blind. You know, she was a founding member of the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union here in the United States. She traveled over 39 countries and was a goodwill ambassador after World War II. And she just had this amazing impact. And we wanted to start hearing from people about what her impact was. And capturing those interviews, we start, you know, this is one of those things where documentaries can kind of take a turn, right, a shift. We started in interviewing people that were blind and had low vision and deafblind, hearing their stories and capturing their stories. When we began to piece it together, and I say we, Bill Sirine, our director of the film, you know, had over 90 hours of footage of interviews with people that were blind or deafblind, had low vision, and began to piece this story together. We started just really capturing really the breadth of an authentic voice of what is it like for someone who's blind or have low vision or to be deafblind. And what are the pressures? What are the feelings that you get from the attitudes that people have, the misconceptions? And so the film, you know, I wouldn't say it took a turn, but it definitely started to capture, I think, a real authentic voice in the footsteps of Helen Keller. So what we have now is a 99-minute, you know, piece of art, we'd like to think, and we'll get into maybe the artistic side when we talk about the audio description, its accessibility feature that's unique, the way we would design that in the film. But, you know, the stories itself, it has a real authentic, like, you can hear it in the audience. When we screened it at Carnegie Hall, you know, there were 70 or so, maybe more people who were blind in the audience. And you could hear the laughs at certain moments. You could hear the cheers at certain moments. Like, it resonates with all of us. So everybody that's blind has a different perspective, right? Depending on how you learned everything from, you know, how to maybe get around with a cane, we all maybe took it differently to just, you know, the experiences we have are unique and they form our independence. We wanted to focus in, I think, in a lot of ways on that sense of independence, make those shared themes weave themselves together. As we're celebrating our war of, you know, the war of independence here in the United States, 250 years, I mean, there's no doubt that Helen Keller is one of the greatest icons for independence in terms of particularly for people with disabilities. It's an authentic voice that it's sort of carrying Helen's mantra forward and sort of preaching, what does independence mean? And within the context of someone who's blind.
The audio description or the way you've created this movie, made it accessible to someone who is blind or partially sighted, it's quite interesting. And could you kind of talk us through this whole process?
We lucked out. The director that really brought this all to form, to reality, that pieced all these hours together in stories. From the beginning, he wanted it, Bill Sirine from Beach Glass Films, he wanted it to be accessible in a way that maybe hadn't been done yet. One of Bill's first friends that he met when he moved to Los Angeles decades ago was a guy named Roy Samuelson. Roy is the person who started the Audio Description Network Alliance here in the United States. He is probably one of the top audio describe AD narrators. But he also runs a team and a company that focuses on producing audio description, and it's just top-notch. In fact, the first thing people hear when this film starts is a tone that's the notes on the keyboard of A.D. I thought that was rather brilliant. Stephen Letness, who composed the music for our film, also created that the sort of tonal pattern, which is an audio cue that says this is what's called Kevin's tone, which is a thing that Roy's been advocating for the film industry to take up, which basically says, you know, this is a stamp of approval that the AD you're going to hear for blind audiences or people that rely on AD, not just for people that are blind, it's going to be top notch, right? And Bill brought in Roy, who's sort of this strong evangelist for audio description, to lead a team that typically when you have a film made, the audio description, the director doesn't really have anything to do with it. It's done sort of after the fact. You know, producers got to get it on a certain network, and that network maybe requires audio description, and they'll work with different companies. And film distribution, you know, major metroplexes and stuff will often require audio description. So Bill and Roy worked together to really bring together a team of some of the best in the audio description biz to think of it like the writer's room as you're creating the film. So we brought in writers, we brought in folks that basically were helping to craft the story from a non-visual perspective, in the sense that, you know, there's not those awkward pauses, or you're trying to slam an audio description real quick. They're wearing a green shirt, and you know, that thing real fast that audio description sometimes has seconds to try to get a lot across. They gave them the space to write the audio description into the script of the documentary, and it really resonates through. And it's also open audio described, so you don't need any special devices in the movie theater. It's there for every audience. We wanted every audience to know what audio description is. Every person that watches the film, I think of our 15 festivals, you know, 13 of them were non-disability focused globally when we were taking this on festivals around the world. And it really sort of resonated with audiences that, oh, we get this. And it brings out the art in it. You know, there's a science of audio description to try to make it fit within a certain number of seconds and to you know, craft the words just right objectively. But then there's an art, you know, there's even in film, they call it breaking the fourth wall, where you take something and you kind of like show the audience, you know, this thing. And, you know, in the trailer, it's Satana Howery, who was the voice for this. And she's herself an amazing voiceover. If folks have Netflix and they watch the American series Seinfeld, you know, she's the audio describer for that and just a ton of other things. She's an amazing work with what she does. It's her breaking the fourth wall going, and this is me describing my audio from my very, you know, studio and reading on a Braille display. That was, I think, probably one of the things that makes this most unique from a documentary, that it's got open audio description, but we also brought people in. And we also had a lot of people in the film who were blind as well working in it, and not just in the space of our, you know, our AD writer and our QC and then Satana. But also like our sound engineer and some other folks in the process that did the film score mix and other stuff were also blind as well. So we really wanted to focus on a film that was accessible to all audiences. And I think they knocked it out of the park when you know, we were just at the Carnegie Hall, and you could really get a sense that people enjoyed it. People that were sighted weren't like, you know, oh, this is off-putting. You know, when you go on Threads online, they're like, how do I turn this feature off on my TV? You know, people were really enjoying it. It was like a narrator for the film, and it worked really well.
I feel like that's a perfect way of doing it, because you're making it not just more, I guess, immersive in a way, but you're also conveying what the reality of like watching a good movie with audio description should really be like.
Exactly. Yeah. And it is, our hope is just as much to make it entertaining for the audience. You know, we want the industry to know this is how it can be done, right? We're not saying every film should be done like this, but when it is done like this, it makes it extremely powerful for people that require this to make the media fully accessible for them.
Well, Tony, if we wanted to watch the movie, could you remind us again how we can find it?
Yeah, so it's on Amazon right now in the UK. You can go there and check it out, rent it or purchase it. It is going to be rolled out on YouTube later this year for folks that maybe don't have Amazon. Hold fast and we'll be getting it to you. But for the next couple months, Amazon is the way folks can check it. So just go to Amazon, I think, what is it, .co.uk, and then type in possibilities for the film under their sort of Amazon Prime movie section.
Fantastic. And I imagine if we followed, went over to your website as well, we can find some more information about the movie too.
Exactly. We'll be posting more information. So if you go to afb.org/possibilities, afb.org/possibilities, we've got, you know, trailers and clips and you know, lists of where we were. We were excited. We got in a festival in Manchester during it, and I was very excited because that's where my family is from, that part of England generations ago. But we had a limited run at that festival, but it was it's there for folks, and we'll be bringing it to you, like I say, you know, other ways soon. So check out afb.org/possibilities when we'll be updating it as we get it on more streaming platforms.
Fantastic. Well, Tony Stevens from the American Foundation for the Blind and also the producer of the documentary movie Possibilities, thank you so much for speaking on RNIB Connect Radio.
My pleasure. Thanks so much.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favorite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.